chapter 3. And whenever you're there, shout a hoo dat, because they won last Sunday. And we're just believing God for the same things. Can I get an amen? And so if you don't care about the saints, it's all right. We still love you. But I question if you're really from Louisiana. And so, Louisiana sports. Let me not get distracted by the sports of Louisiana. How many people love to shop? Anybody loves to shop in the house? Ladies, I got some ladies. I got some, any men, my husband. I'm sort of weird. The name of the sermon today is "Go Get You Some New Clothes." And so turn to your neighbor and say, "Go get you some new clothes." And it's not that your clothes look bad. We're just getting some new ones. And it's weird. I don't like shopping. I am probably like one of the unusual. I don't know. As a woman, I feel like weird about this. I love food shopping. Whenever I have free time, I'll go to New Orleans, and I will go to every ethnic food shop. I'm going Greek, I'm going like Israeli, I'm going Korean, Asian, Hispanic, all of it. I will shop at every single store. I will get every single spice and think about, I have a spice rack at my house that includes like a whole cabinet, and then I had so much spices and sauces, I had to like put some in my cupboard too, you know, where all the other food is. That's me, like we're eating in rice and spice, you know, like that's sort of how our family does it. But whenever we go clothes shopping, I don't like it. And my kids and my husband love to shop clothes. And so, like, for our birthdays or, like, when we'll go out to eat or something like that. And immediately, the first thing is, what do you want to do? Let's go to New Orleans. What do you want to go to New Orleans for? To shop. They're going to go to the mall. They're going to go to Marshall's. They're going to go to TJ Maxx. Can I get a whoop whoop? That's a good shop. And I walk in, and I just feel, like, really weird and different. And everybody else is, like, looking after clothes after clothes. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm bored and I'm exhausted, like just looking at everybody. It's not like I don't like new clothes. I do. I even have like blow money saved up in my allowances so that we give to ourselves. And I have like tons of money that I could spend on clothes. I just choose not to because I'm like, another vacation sounds so much better to me. And so I love vacations. And so so we go clothes shopping and they get new clothes and we're looking at clothes that we can't afford new clothes and everybody's like trying to get it. And it's not that I don't like new clothes. It's just like, it's just overwhelming to me. The other day, my dad, he stops in at the church often. I jumped with the play set. So he was just sitting out there on Monday, just reading a book. And he walks in. I'm not joking. He had a shirt on from 20 plus years ago. And I look at my dad, and I know it to be a shirt from 20 years ago because it was the first camp that I ever did as a youth pastor. And we did this shirt, and it was a maroon shirt with a little stick figure guy. And my dad walks in. I was in my early 20s, maybe mid-20s, whenever I started youth pastoring. And he walks in with that shirt. And I'm looking at him, I'm thinking like he's proud because I'm his daughter, and that's not the truth. The truth is, my dad does not throw away old clothes. And so he's sitting there, and I'm like, "Dad, and his shorts." I'm thinking the shorts have to be about 20 years old as well. And it's not that my dad cannot afford new clothes. He could go shopping whenever he wants. He's retired. He's done all the savings. I mean, they have money. My parents have money, but my dad will just pull out a set of old clothes. And he sits there, and I'm laughing to myself because I'm like, well, there's something I inherited from my dad, not liking to get new clothes. You ever do that? You go into your closet, and what do? Every morning, Monday morning, I see all the clothes in my closet, but I just go straight for the Hope Community Church shirt, and I just put it on. I'm like, yeah, that's my clothes for today. And my husband probably gets so mad. I have a regime, like Monday, then I wash it on Tuesday, and Wednesday I'm back in Hope Community Church shirt. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it feels good, right? Like, old clothes feel good, and you know what they look like and they feel like. And this morning, I want to encourage you to get some new clothes. Spiritually, we're going to talk about this. Nikki Gummel, he writes, if you're reading the Bible through with us, it's in your bulletin this morning, and he has a Bible plan, and he says, I hate getting rid of things, especially clothes to which I'm attached. They feel like old friends, right? Like there's a shirt or a sweater that just makes you feel like you're attached to something. Now, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to be looking through the Bible, and we're going to see how do we get rid of clothes that are not supposed to be a part of our lives. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started with the sermon, the attitude of gratitude, and how to get rid of your stinking thinking, right? The first way is like what you think about. And so we said, set your mind on things above. In Colossians 3 and Philippians 4, we said, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, to think about those things. So the first way is your mind. And then last week, Pastor Ted said, let what you say please God. I agree. Let what you say. And then you had a memory verse competition. And we said, if you memorize the scripture that he said over and over again, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And if you did that this morning and you went to the cafe, you got a free, like, king-size bar. How many people did that this morning? I saw you. You had some people. You can still go after service. You can go next Sunday. Learn that, because the words out of our mouth come out of the thinking that's in our brain and in our heart. And so last week we said, let your words please God, which is your heart. This week, you have my permission to get new clothes, to go get you some new clothes, and so that means go get you some new actions. Everybody say actions. See, we want to change our actions, but God wants to change your thinking, and then he wants to change your heart, and then he wants to change the words out of your mouth, and when those things begin to change, so do your actions. Everybody say actions. Okay, now if you're there, look at the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to be starting in verse 1. It says, if you then have been raised with Christ. Everybody say, raised with Christ. Amen. Now, if you've turned your life over to Jesus, if you've been saved, born again, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, this letter is for you. This is who we are supposed to be. And Paul says this to the church at Colossae. And he says, if you have been raised with Christ, select the things that are above. So it almost seems like that wouldn't be natural to our fleshly self. Our fleshly self will seek the things that are below. But Paul says, no, rather, he says, seek the things that are above. Everybody say above. Now that's going to have, it's going to sort of like hurt a little bit. It's going to be like a game of hide and seek, right? You're not automatically just going to find a new set of clothes, but God wants to give you a new set of clothes this morning. So Paul says in verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, somebody say mind. Now, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, so we're going to move on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, spirit, in your flesh, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. But that's not yet. So then Paul continues the letter. In verse 5, he says, put to death, everybody say death. Now, that means that we have a fleshly side, an earthly side. We have a nature. We're going to call it this morning, we're going to refer to it as old clothes. And then Paul, after verse 5, he starts to list things. He has these sin lists. When I was a youth pastor in Texas many years ago, the pastor I was underneath, who taught me how to read the word, taught me how to preach, taught me how to like really understand the word, he did a series on all the sin lists that Paul had. There's six of them. And he would do it with the youth group. It was crazy. They had 200 kids that would come into this youth group. And I'm sitting there like, people aren't going to stay. This is not. And he just did every sin list that Paul writes about in the different letters. And this one this morning is very typical of what Paul would say. So let's keep on reading it. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And here's some examples. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, which is another word for lust. So if you're looking at something and it causes you to lust and it's not in the context of a marriage, then that's something that is against God. It says this, to put to death evil desires. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have these desires that are not of God. So in other words, they are evil. I don't know, that just sort of comes upon me. Look at Paul. He keeps on writing. He says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I don't know if you even know what the word covetousness means. But he comes out with these big words, these words that we talk about. And he says, hey, those are old clothes. And he says even the word covetousness. And I think at times we don't even know that that's like idolatry. Look what he connects it to. He says, whenever we want something that is not ours, or desire something that God has not given us but has given to somebody else, you make that like a little god in your life. So you're wanting things that God has not assigned for you. Some people would say it like this, stay in your lane. You know, do what God has for you and let God do what he wants for someone else. And if they're blessed, shout a hallelujah. And if you're blessed, shout a hallelujah and an amen. So God says to put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Keep on reading. In verse 6, it says this, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So he says, there's going to be an account for these old clothes that you've left in your closet. That's just sort of my translation. It says in verse 7, in these two you once walked when we were living in them, but now you must put them all away. And then he goes to the things that I think Jeremy said a couple of weeks ago are just a little bit easier to hide, because we know what sexual immorality is, or we know what lust is, or covetousness. But then Paul makes the list a little bit defined, and look what he says: these are more old clothes you need to get rid of. Anger. Let me say that again. Anger. Somebody say anger. Wrath. Malice. That's where malice is not a word we typically use, but malice is when you do something with an evil intent. You know what I'm talking about? Like you don't like the person, so you secret underhandedly do something to get against the person. That's called malice. And God says to get rid of it because it's old clothes and it stinks and it smells. And it's not like the new person that God has created that lives in Jesus Christ, who has their mind set on things above. So he continues the list and he says, anger, wrath, malice, slander, where you're talking about people and demeaning them and putting them lower most of the time so that you can feel higher and that your position or your way is right. And God says, that is old clothes. And then he says, obscene talk, filthy, cursing, talking that is not of God, that is listed in those. He says, even take away obscene talk from your mouth. And then in verse 9, the list just continues. I know right now we're probably feeling a little bit of a conviction. I know I am. It says in verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So God even comes for the little things, the lies that we tell. And he says, stop doing the things that were of the old self and start putting on the things that are the new self. This is actions that you have to take. Look at verse 10. It says, and with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So our objective is that we would have clothes this morning, spiritual clothes, that look like our creator and not like our fleshly desires. He says in verse 11 here, there is not Greek and Jew, there's not circumcised and uncircumcised, there's not barbarian and Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and he is in all. Now, I like how the message says this, just in case you got a little bit overwhelmed by those verses. I want you to look at it on the screen. It says this in verse 9. I'm going to read it from the message, which is like a translation of what God has done. It says, you're done with that old way of life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you have stripped off and put in the fire. So imagine this. You're done with the old way of life. It says it is like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes. Everybody say ill-fitting. So that's who you used to be, and God has called you into something different. So you might have been filled with anger. You might have been filled with lust. You might have been filled with sexual immorality. You might have been filled with covetousness. And God says, that's like a filthy set of ill-filling clothes that you have stripped off, and now you're to put it in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. And every item of your new way of life is custom made. How many people like custom made clothes? I've never had custom made clothes except by my mother. And I don't know, you know, like that's how we used to do it back in the day. My mom made my clothes. But custom clothes that are fit and tailored for you, that's what God desires. He says, I have some clothes that when you take off the old and you put on the new, it's a tag with the Creator stepped on it. It says in the Message, every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions, they're now obsolete. The old classifications, words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave or free, they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ, and everyone is included in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. So, in Christ, let's just sort of think about this for a moment. There was no racial barrier. That starts stepping on toes. Well, what do you mean? But that's what he said. Because in Christ, he said, there was no Greek or no Jew. That would have been a racial barrier. We identify, not that culture is not important, not that there's a difference in the cultures. Absolutely. God even says that because he says there's Greek or Jew. But it doesn't mean anything because there is no barrier now between Greek and Jew because that was old clothes and God wants you to put on the new clothes. So God says that all come into the kingdom, not just a certain person or the way that they act or the way that they look. There is no racial barrier. There are no religious barriers. Uncircumcised or circumcised. Hopefully you know what that means, so I don't have to define that. But that was a way that said you're religious and you are not religious. You are circumcised, you are uncircumcised, but we do that today. We say, oh, well, you're Pentecostal and you're Baptist. Or you're this and you're that. And God says that that old way of thinking, those old actions, there are no religious barriers. That if you were in Christ and you know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, guess what? You are a child of the King. And so there are no religious barriers. There are no racial barriers. There are no national barriers. You don't get in because you're an American. You don't get in because of the country that you live in. Look at it. He says there's no barbarian. Or Scythian, there was differences. Oh, that's them, and that's no. We are a Christ kingdom first. So my brothers and sisters in China are my brothers and sisters, and we get to share in the kingdom of God. There are no racial barriers. There are no religious barriers. There are no national barriers. There are no class barriers. It is not those that are have and those who have not. It is not the middle class versus the rich and poverty versus the middle class. All of that is incomplete when in comparison with Christ. He said that is the old way of thinking. Everybody gets in no matter who you are because of Jesus. You don't get in because you're rich and you don't not get in because you're poor. God says all come in and get rid of that thinking and those actions that say there is a racial barrier or religious barrier or a national barrier or a class barrier. God says Christ is in all. Everybody say all. And say everyone is included. So here's what happens. And I know this is my tendency, is all of this old stuff has been done away with. And here it is that I have just mentioned in the last 5 to 10 minutes, race, religion, anger, lust, covetousness. And here's what happens. This is a shirt from Taco Bell. This shirt is quite old if you can't see it. I know. Can you know because of the logo, correct? I mean, this is the back in the day Taco Bell. That's like the Yo Quiero Taco Bell. You know, the kids don't know what I'm talking about. And so we know. And so, you know, cha-ching in the 90s. I grew up in the 90s. And so I found this shirt, y'all, at a thrift store a couple years ago. It's not even mine. But I was like, this is old. Y'all, whenever I try to hang out with young people and I try to be cool, I'll pull out my Taco Bell shirt. Last year I wore this to youth camp, and no lie, 10 to 20 kids were like, that's so cool. You know, it's like retro. I don't know. It's retro. I'm just doing it to impress y'all, young people. I would never. And so whenever I'm trying to be, but this is old, and this is in my closet, and I don't even know how they kept it together so well, and it doesn't really smell like Taco Bell. It's smells pretty decent. I washed it. And but my proclivity is to go and find, my tendency is to go and say, okay, this is the old. This is what I'm going to wear. This is, you know, and I don't care how, this is my anger. This is my lust. This is my racial tendencies. This is my religious barriers that I've thrown. This is always what I've done. It was in my family. I have, my mom was angry. My grandmother was angry. And so therefore I can be angry. And Paul says, no, these are the old clothes. And here's what I want you to do with the old clothes. You might like them. You might think it's cool. You might think it's retro. But here's what the Lord says. I want you to get rid of the old. Everybody say, get rid of it. We have to get some action in here. See, it's done away with. And the Lord says, now you get new clothes. Now, this is important. You can get rid of everything that we just listed in the last 5 to 10 minutes. You're like, I'm clean. I'm good. But Jesus says this, and I always find this to be an interesting story. In teaching in Matthew 12 and verse 43 through 45, an evil spirit is expelled from a person, and he seeks out, he goes and he leaves. Like the guy is clean, he cleans his house, everything's good. And the evil spirit is looking for someone to possess again, and he can't find anyone. And Jesus says it returns to the old house and it finds it to be clean and empty. Now that's interesting. It's not full of anger. It's not full of lust. It's not full of covetousness. It's not full of racial barriers. It's not full of any of those things, but it's empty. And there's a problem when our houses are empty, because then something is looking to fill it back up. So in this story, what Jesus tells, he says, leave the spirit, and it was empty, and the spirit recruits 7 other spirits to move in, leaving the person way worse off than before. You ever saw somebody like in an addiction, right? They'll give up like drugs or alcohol, and they'll give it up, but they don't put anything back into the house. So a couple of months later, a couple of years later, you see them and they're back in their addiction. And the addiction is worse than it was in the first time. Why? Because their house was empty. And that's what the Lord, you'll say, well, I'm good. I got rid of the Taco Bell shirt. No, you're not. You have to go and get some new clothes. I want to give out some new clothes this morning because our shirts are $5 and we did this on purpose. I got a large Hope Community. Who would want to wear a brand new large Hope Community? I saw your hand first. Okay, so we got a large Hope Community. I'm going to give out some more new clothes. We got a small Hope Community church, small Hope Community right here. Okay, and I'm just giving out some new clothes this morning. I want to give out this illustration. I got a Solid Rock extra large. Miss McKinley, I got you in the back. I saw your hands raise up. I'm going to throw it right there. I'm sorry, there you go. Okay. And no, it's yours. It's yours. And then I got a brand new Hope Community shirt from like 2 years ago, a small. Anybody wear a small up in here? I got you right here, Aisha. I'll give it up for Aisha. We got that coming to her. Some brand new clothes. So with that being said is you don't just get rid of the old, you get something new. If I don't get rid of my tendency towards anger, it will come back. If I don't get back anger or malice, slander, sexual impurity, it's in my family, it goes through my lineage, I'm comfortable, and I get rid of it, but I can't just get rid of it. I have to exchange it for something else. Somebody say something else. I want you to go back to your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. This will not be on the screen, so I want you to look at verse 12. Colossians 3. In verse 12, Colossians 3 and verse 12, it says this, put on then. Everybody say, put it on. Go get you some new clothes. If I was writing it, that's what I would say. Paul says, put on then as God's chosen ones, and he just tells you who you are. I think sometimes before you can put on new clothes, you have to understand who you are. You have to know who you, if you keep on walking around, well, I'm nobody, and I'm just, this is what people said about me, and you walk on with that old behavior and that old pattern, that whole way of thinking, then whenever you go to get something new, you're not going to put it on because you think you're not worth putting something new on. And God says to you, no, sir, no, ma'am. He says, this is who you are. You are a chosen one. Say, I am a chosen one. No, you got to say it like you mean it. Say, I am a chosen one. So it says this, it says, I am a chosen one. I am holy. I am beloved. That's who you are this morning. And because you can stand in confidence and say these things because of who you are in Jesus, he says this is what you're to clothe yourself with, being compassionate hearts, that you would have kindness, that you would have humility, that you would think of others as better than yourselves, that you would be meek and tenderhearted and patient. In verse 13, it says, here's some new clothes to put on. Bear with one another. Just bear with us. God, we're human. You're human. It says, bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Somebody say, forgive. These are new clothes. You ever put on a new pair of shoes? I've been trying to walk faithfully, and I'm back in the habit like 3 days, so I'm sort of impressed with myself. And I bought a pair of shoes a couple of months ago, and they were on sale, and because I don't like to buy clothes. And so I'm sitting there with these new shoes. They're pink. They're Adidas, I think. Ted wouldn't know. I don't have no idea what kind of shoes they are. They're pink. And so I'm sitting, and I walk the neighborhood, and like the first day I have blisters on the back of my feet. It was weird, right? Like it's a new shoe, and so I'm breaking them in. Sometimes when we get rid of anger and malice and covetousness, kindness feels a little different. But it's the good clothes. It's the new clothes. Y'all, I have some good walking shoes. My other walking shoes that I had when I walked the neighborhood, they had like holes almost at the bottom of the soles. And I would wonder why my feet were all raw. And Ted says, that's because like you barely have no shoe left. And you're walking like 2 miles. And I can't believe that you still have feet. And so that's where I was. But it felt good. And the Lord says, no, get rid of those and put on something new. And so God says, these are the things, the kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If you have a complaint against one another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So this is what God says. These are your new clothes, and wear them and break them in and use them over and over and over again. That's the shirt that you can put on. You can always put on kindness. You can always wear humility. You can always live in meekness and humility and patience. You can bear with one another. You can have forgiveness towards one another. And God says, these, my friends, chosen, holy, beloved people in the room this morning, these are your new clothes. And verse 4, it says this. It says, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. See, one word sets up all the other clothes, and that's love. I almost think of love as someone that's sitting, I don't know why I have this imagery in my head, sitting on a rocker, you know, and they're knitting, and they're taking that yarn, and they're moving it through all the pieces of clothes that they're making. Or they're taking a seamstress, and they're just taking that thread, and they're moving that thread into everything that they make. And what do they make it with? All the old people will always say they make it with love. I imagine that to be the cord of our lives. If you would have humility and kindness and meekness and forgiveness, if you would walk in holiness, and these are your new clothes, the Bible says that the way that you do that is in love. Love towards one another. It says that. It binds everything together in perfect harmony. The love is not an emotion. It's not just, I'm going to say it. It's an action. It's something that you put on. See, you've got to put on something new. Just as you put on physical clothes this morning, thank you, hallelujah, that you did that. We have to choose to go in our closets. And when we're tempted towards anger, when we're tempted to put in the old thing, say, no, I made new. And I'm not going to stay empty. I'm going to put on the things that God has given me. I'm going to put on the action of love. And when you put it on, that's the beauty of a Christian community. I pray that when you walked in this morning, can you play a little music, that Christ would bring about change. That you would have felt this morning when you walked into the building some type of Christian love. See, the way that we react to each other, the way that we're supposed to move is supposed to be attractive to the world. It even says this, they will know that you are Christians by your love. That all come in. That all are equal. That all have value. That when we put on the clothes of Christ, you are chosen, you are holy, you are beloved. God loves you. If that doesn't get you moving towards new clothes, I don't know what will. This morning, if you struggle with those things that we've talked about, there is a Redeemer named Jesus who can help you. And for most of us, that's a progression, right? Most of the time, I don't go in my closet and look at everything and say, let me get rid of everything. I don't. I wish I could, but I'm sort of sentimental. And I've got things there from 20 years ago, like my dad. But what I did the other day was I took 4 or 5 shirts that were old and had holes in them. And I said, you know what? I'm going to throw them away. So I bring them and I take them and I throw them in the trash. I know that's like maybe sacrilegious or something like that, but I throw them in the trash. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at them and I say, okay, they're gone. Those are not who I am. And this morning, I would want to encourage you to get some new clothes. I want to read from the Message, the end part of that scripture, and then we'll just have a time of prayer. It says, so chosen by God, that's you, us. It says, for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. I love that. Be even-tempered. Content with second place. Hallelujah, Lord, you've put me in Louisiana sports. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Could you bow your head, please, and close your eyes this morning? Can you go through your spiritual wardrobe? There's probably a couple of things in that list that Paul wrote that you struggle with, that I struggle with. Would you just start removing those and saying, okay, God, I need the Holy Spirit to help me to get rid of anger, to get rid of lust, to get rid of immorality, to get rid of setting up barriers. That's real. That's a sin against the holy God because he created us equal. Get rid of malice and evil intent. Say, okay, God, that's a clothes that I need to get rid of. Just confess that before him. Just right now, give you space to do that. Just confess that. I'm sorry. It's a good place. I repent. Spend a moment with Jesus. Just talk to him. Jesus. Just get rid of that old clothes that you've been hanging on to. You take a moment to replace it. Don't leave your house clean. It's good to be clean. Fill it up with God's purposes for your life. You're holy. You're chosen. You're his beloved. Would you dress this morning and maybe pick out kindness if you've struggled with anger? Maybe bring out humility if you've struggled with pride. If you're always trying to be first place, maybe take out humility and say, Lord, help me. Or discipline, that's a good one to clothe yourself. Being even-tempered. Be content. God, help me to be content with the things that I have, not to be covetousness. Would you just take a moment and say, God, give me that. God, help me to clothe myself with that thing, whatever it is that you struggle with.